Good morning. Good morning. Welcome this snowy morning. It's good to see the beautiful snow outside. Not too much to cause problems, but just enough to give us a nice countryside. Are there any announcements this morning that you'd like to share? I would like to share that the Super Bowl party for this evening here at church has been canceled. I guess there weren't enough people interested in the game. But so you're on your own to watch the Super Bowl tonight. Savannah, you have an announcement you'd like to make?
Once again, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and the youth are doing the Super Bowl of Caring. It's an organization that collects every year on the Super Bowl for food banks and things like that around the area you're in. We will be donating this year to the Bethel Food Bank and to the Boys and Girls Club, but we just ask that you make a donation as you walk out this afternoon. Thank you.
I'd like to call to your attention two pieces of literature that are pretty important. One is a scripture and prayer guide for Lent. Lent begins on the Wednesday following next Sunday. And so we won't put this out until next Sunday. So come prepared to take one with you next Sunday. We'll have them on the table back in the vestibule. And this is simply every day through Lent. It actually begins on Tuesday the 12th, and it's some scripture to focus on and prayer throughout that special time. And then also we did a redesign of the church brochure. Glenn Regal is responsible for this work. Did a really dandy job there. You see a picture of the inside, and I asked if we could flash that up so that you wouldn't be tempted to take one as a piece of memorabilia, because what we want to do with these is use them to pass out to visitors and so on and so forth. Now, if you have a neighbor that you've been wanting to invite to church and would like to take one to pass on to say a little bit about who we are, do feel free to take one. But to just take one as a Bible marker or something like that, we'd rather you wouldn't do that. I think we only printed maybe 300. I'm not sure. But it's really nifty. At the very least, look at it. And if you have someone you want to pass it on to, please do take one. So this will not be out on the table until next Sunday. There are copies of this today out there.
Are there other announcements that anybody would like to share? Okay, let's, Bob, if you would pass around, and we'll pass the microphone around, we'll take sharing at this time, joys and concerns.
Ben Hauser was hospitalized on Friday afternoon in the Pinnacle Health Center in Harrisburg.
Ed Hauser. If you have something you'd like to share, just raise your hand and we'll get you the microphone.
My friend's brother, Eli Schock, is 4 years old and was admitted to Lehigh Valley Hospital yesterday for some eye trouble.
Okay.
I have a joy. Our little boy, Anthony, turned one this week.
Are there any others? Go ahead, Bob.
I want to just remind us to keep Jim Bowman and his family in our prayers. The funeral for Nancy was past Thursday, and her passing was a real shock. And Jim, I think, really is in need of our prayers, and as is the rest of the family. So let's remember them in our prayers.
It's good to see Jim with us this morning. And if you want to give Jim a word afterwards, please do so. Anything else anybody like to share at this point? Let's stand then and sing hymn number 1, What Is This Place? Please remain standing as we share in the call to worship. I will bless the Lord with all my heart. Words of praise for my God will continually be in my mouth.
I know the Lord is always with me.
I will not be shaken, for God is right beside me. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor upon us. You may be seated. Let's turn in our song sheets. You'll find those in the pews at the end of the pew to song number 1 as we prepare for our hearts for prayer.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are a blessed people. We rejoice and are glad, not because our lives are perfect, not because we have finally overcome the problem of sin in our lives, not because we don't have doubts, not because our families are without issues, but we rejoice and are glad because you're here with us. And there isn't anything, any place we can go to flee from your Spirit. You're with us always, even to the close of the age. And so we take that promise to heart and realize that whether we're going through dark valleys or are on mountaintops or wherever we might be, there you are. The old hymn that I loved to sing as a child, anywhere with Jesus, we can safely go. And Lord, I pray that that would be our reality today. That there is not any place that we can't go when Jesus is at our side. I know one of our Sunday school classes this morning talked about turning our eyes toward Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to do that. We confess that we get distracted so easily, and we look to the right and to the left and sometimes over our shoulders to see what might be sneaking up from behind. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, because as the hymn says, only then will the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Thanks for this day. What a blessing it is to be alive today, to be together with our brothers and sisters. We pray for many who didn't dare to come out today because the roads are a little problematic, and so many chose to stay home, and God bless them in their homes. Watch over them and pray that they would have a sense of your warmth and of your blessing at home. We also want to lift up names that have been named for you, before you. Edna Hauser, would you be with her and be a blessing to her? And Eli Schock, be with him and supply all of his needs. We rejoice that Anthony is a year old. And boy, time flies whether we're having fun or not. And so it's hard to believe that here we are in February already of 2013. And March will be here before we even turn around a few times. And so we thank you that you're with us. We pray that you would be with Jim Bowman and his family as they grieve the loss of Nancy. Be with them, take them by the hand, lead them through this kind of dark valley that they're walking through right now. Lord, again, we're so thankful for all of the blessings that you shower upon us. We give thanks in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. As it is in heaven, give us this daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever.
Forever.
Just like to announce that the flowers that you see on the worship table are from the funeral of Nancy this past week. We want to thank the family for sharing those with us. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and there's two teams that are playing out of, I don't know how many are in the NFL, that have worked hard to get where they're at. I'm sure they haven't just gone through the paces. And this morning, the youth talked about Paul and how he says that we have a race to run, and at the end of the race is that prize that we all want to attain. And that we shouldn't try to attain that prize just by going through our Christian life in just sort of a mediocre fashion, but we should really work at our Christian lives to attain that prize, and that we should celebrate when we do get to that point where we can share in that prize. So I'd like you this morning to think about that. Think about where you are in your Christian life. Are you working hard at your Christian life? Are you working hard at sharing the gospel? Or are you just sort of going through the paces? Let's pray. Father, you truly are a blessing to us, and we are a blessed people. We want to run the race, and we want to run it hard for you. We want others to know you through our daily lives, through our sharing with you. And now, Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts that we're about to share, that they might go towards your work, that they might be shared with others, and that we might ultimately share in the prize. In your name we pray, amen. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 20 through 27, and this will sound very familiar to most of us. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them.
We are never closer to the heart of God than when we are blessing others. In fact, we have been so richly blessed so that God could shower His blessings on others through us. And it really isn't an option. You know, there are some things within our walk with Jesus that are optional. Blessing others is not. In fact, we are all under the command that was given to Aaron and his sons. They were the first priests of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons that they need to bless my people." And we're under that same command because we believe in our tradition that we are a part of the priesthood of all believers. In fact, the scriptures are pretty clear about that. It was people just like us that Peter wrote to in Galatia and Bithynia and Cappadocia and congregations all over Asia. He said, "You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, God's own people." And so you see, we're a part of this royal priesthood. And so the obligation to be in the blessing business is not just for Aaron and his sons and those who are in the lineage of that Jewish priesthood, or even those within those Christian traditions that have priests. But we are part of the priesthood of all believers. Now Jesus put it this way. In Matthew chapter 25, this is a passage that's familiar to most of us, but I just saw it recently as it's simply the passage read by about a dozen different Christian leaders throughout the United States. Watch this 2-minute video.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him,
He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nation will be gathered before Him.
And He will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
He'll put the sheep on the right, the goats on His left.
Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father.
Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink.
I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
Fui extranjero y me invitaron a su hogar.
I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me.
I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?
Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you
in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?"
The King will reply, "Truly I tell you,
whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Then he will turn to those on his left and say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed,
into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me no food.
I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, you did not invite me in.
I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me.
I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me."
And then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison?"
He will reply, "Truly, I tell you,
whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me."
And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
I saw this in Austin, Texas, where I spent 4 days this week in a gathering of Christian leaders from all over North America who were gathering together to talk about the whole issue of immigration And this was shared with us, and I thought how appropriate it was to hear these different Christian voices coming together and speaking together out of this call to be a blessing to others. If you missed the first line, Jesus said, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you, and be a blessing to those who are hungry, and those who are thirsty, and those who are strangers, and those who are in prison, and those who are naked." Really, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. Now, the greater blessing that we can be will come with the greater blessing that we receive. It's not simply our good works that we pass on, though that's certainly a part of it, but we are passing on the Lord's blessing. And in this blessing, God made it clear that He is the source of the blessing. There are those three statements in this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And so the blessing comes from our God. All we need to do is receive it and then pass it on to those around us. Now, I confess that the whole idea of asking God to bless me is something that somehow didn't seem to fit with my brethren ethic, you know. I mean, who am I to ask God to bless me? And we have that sort of humble pie kind of attitude, we brethren. But I changed, that attitude changed when I read a book a number of years ago by Bruce Wilkinson, that's how you say it, who wrote the Prayer of Jabez. Anybody read that book? That tiny little book, The Prayer of Jabez? Yeah. Jabez was this fellow. Actually, the word Jabez means literally, he's a pain. Now, I think... I'm a little surprised my mom didn't call me Jabez, but I don't think it's that kind of pain that Jabez's mom was talking about. It was the pain of childbirth, and she apparently it was a pretty painful birth, and she gave him the name Jabez, which means he's a real pain. And Jabez, we're told in 2 Chronicles 4:9-10, that Jabez asked God to bless him. That Jabez asked God to bless him and asked God to expand his sphere of influence. I think that's it says literally that to move the pegs of his tent, to widen his territory. Jabez asked God to put his hand on him. And Jabez asked God to keep him from all harm. A number of years ago when I read this little book, I was so impressed with the message of the book that I started praying that every day. And I prayed it every day for, you know, a few weeks, and then every week for a few months, and then after that, every now and then, you know how that goes. But I was just thinking this morning as I was praying about this service today, how God has answered that prayer. You know, I've been so blessed. I don't think I could stand it to be blessed anymore. And you know, my sphere of influence has expanded. And I've had a sense of God's hand being upon me, and, you know, being in Africa and all sorts of dangerous places, but being without harm. And I know I share that just as a personal testimony, not in any boastful sense, but I know many of us, most of us, can say, yeah, we've been blessed too. We are a blessed people. And I say that only to encourage us that God wants to bless us, that God is not reluctant to bless us. Just as we as parents, we're not reluctant to bless our children. We delight in blessing our children and our grandchildren. There's nothing more fun about being a grandparent than being able to bless our grandchildren, in some cases in ways that we were unable to bless our own children. And that's simply identifying with the heart of God. So we need to understand where the blessings come from and that God wants to bless us. And it's in receiving God's blessing that we're able to have more blessing to pass on to others. Well, let's quickly look at what are the three blessings that the priests were instructed to give. The Lord bless you and keep you. What does it mean to be kept? The word keep in Hebrew is shamar, and it means literally to be hedged in with thorns. And that was the practice among shepherds in that day. If they had their sheep grazing close to where the sheepfold was, they would bring them back into the sheepfold at night for the sake of their safety. But if they were out in the bush somewhere, they would herd the sheep together and put a hedge of thorns around them. Now, I've heard people pray for me. God put a hedge of thorns around him to protect him. And I always liked that. And I went on to pray that for other people. I may have prayed that prayer for some of you. And never quite understood whether it was a really biblical concept until just this week when I was studying for this sermon and found out that that's literally what it means to be blessed and kept. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's inviting God to place a hedge of protection around you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we didn't see the sun for, a couple of weeks? And you remember what it felt like to actually see the sun for the first time? I remember because I was in Florida. And when we first got to Florida a couple weeks ago, it was real cloudy down there too. And then one day I was standing there and suddenly the sun appeared and I just stood there and soaked in the sun. And I was so warmed by it. I was so blessed by it. And that's what it means for God's face to shine upon us. That God visits us with His grace. It's not because we deserve to see the sun rather than the clouds, but it's God graciously enables His sun to shine on the just and the unjust, Jesus said. But I confess to you, that wasn't the first image that came to me when I was thinking about the face of God shining upon me. Carol and I, this year, have probably been apart more than at any other year in our nearly 41 years of marriage. There were a couple of episodes over the years when we spent some time apart. And one was when I was in Africa by myself for 3 weeks. And Carol was at home, and the communication back and forth is not very good. And so we didn't see one another for 3 weeks, didn't talk to one another. And I still remember, you know how sometimes we carry these pictures around in our heads? Well, this for me is not just a photograph, but it's a video. It's the full video. And I remember, flying into Philadelphia Airport, going through customs, and then walking out into the terminal. And I remember seeing Carol across the crowd. Just like it was, in South Pacific. Across a crowded room. You know that song, right? Yeah. And her face radiated with joy. I think to see me. And I was so struck with the grace involved in that. That, if somebody, I always felt that if somebody knows me and still likes me, it's because of the grace of God, you know? And that's what it is, when God's face shines upon us. It's not because we deserve it, but it's just because of the grace of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now that phrase, lift up his countenance, I memorized it that way because I love the poetry, the poetic language. But that phrase means literally, the Lord turn his face toward you. And you know, when God turns his face toward us, and we know that old song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Yeah. There's that sense to know that our God is watching us, is turning his face toward us, and therefore we can be at peace. Though we might be in circumstances that are not so peaceful, that may not be that secure, when we know that we know that we know that God is lifting his countenance over us, turning his face toward us, watching us as he watches the sparrow. We sing, as the song says, because we're happy, because we're free, because we've experienced the peace of Jesus. Well, these are the blessings that God has given to us. And these are the blessings that we are called as the priesthood of all believers to pass on to others. We're gonna conclude this part of the service by singing Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. And let's do this as a way of preparing for communion. Now, I hesitate. I'm not like Pam. You know, Pam this morning, the smaller crowd in the 8:15 service was kind of like the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, the tribe of Dan was there, and we're a little bit less like the 12 tribes. But we're having communion together, and communion means community. And we really need to be together more. And I just ask you, as we sing this one verse hymn, that if you could kind of make your way so that we could be a little more in proximity with one another, so that we could be in community together as we prepare to break bread together. Let's rise to our feet and sing this hymn. And by the way, it's not number 80. It's up there. Number 352. Please be seated. One of the ways that God showers his grace upon us is through the gift of his forgiveness to us. That as Paul wrote in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the free gift of our God is the gift of life that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive that as a part of that gift is the forgiving love and mercy of our God. And so let's take just a moment to silently reflect on the blessing of God's forgiveness. And let's be certain that we avail ourselves to the forgiveness and love of our God as we prepare ourselves to break bread together. All who are in love and fellowship with your brothers and sisters, who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and who humbly put your trust in Christ and desire his help that you might lead a more godly life, draw near to God and receive these symbols of his body and blood to your comfort and for your wholeness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to invite the deacons and deaconesses who will be serving the bread and the cup to come forward at this time. And when you join me, I want to read some words of introduction that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we'll have them distribute the bread first and then the cup. Listen to these words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our deacons and deaconesses are now going to serve you bread after I say a word of blessing over this bread. And when you receive it, if you would hold it until everyone has been served, and they return here and have been served as well. And then we'll say those words together that we often say, and then we'll move on to receive the cup. But first of all, let's pray together. Lord, what a blessing it is to gather together with brothers and sisters and to break bread together. We thank you that you were willing to allow your body to be broken for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That you have been a good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And you have the words of life. We thank you. And we thank you for the hands that prepared this bread. We know that you created those hands, and we know that you created all of the ingredients that went into making this bread. We want to thank you. We ask that you would bless this bread and the hands that prepared it. And now those of us who are breaking this bread together, bless us as we break bread together. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I ask the question, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And then you reply, the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat all of it. The Apostle Paul continues in this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the same way, Jesus took a cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please pray with me. We thank you, Lord, for this cup. We know where these grapes came from, where we know the hands that plucked these grapes and made the juice. We know these folks who have served the cup, who will serve the cup to us. What a blessing to know these things, but an even greater blessing to know what they represent. We're grateful for your shed blood that has the incredible power to cleanse us from all sin, to wash us. And so as we drink of this cup, help us to place ourselves more completely into your care and keeping, that you might continue to cleanse us, to wash us, to remove from us each spot and blemish. Bless this cup as we drink it together. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. As you're served this cup, please hold the cup until all are served and the deacons and deaconesses have returned to the table here so that we can drink the cup together. Once again, the question. The cup which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink all of it. We are grateful, Lord, that we could break bread together and drink of this cup of the new covenant together. Thank you. We are a blessed people, and you've blessed us in order to be a blessing to others. We're grateful for this great calling that's on all of our lives as the priesthood of all believers. Help us to go in your strength and might. For it is not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. So help us to go in the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, I would like to bless you, but I'd like you to reach out your hands to receive this blessing so that you can then take it and pass it on to at least one other person today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all of God's people said, Amen. The choir is going to close us with a song, and then we'll be on our way to bless our neighbors and friends.
May the peace of the Lord go with you. Mm-hmm.